Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM WVTL.
Time now for stories from the Mohawk Valley. Our first story comes from a native of Eagle Street in Amsterdam.
So this is America. I mean, you have a chance. You have a chance.
Well, not that native of Eagle Street in Amsterdam, but he figures in the story. One of the stories submitted in my Stories from the Mohawk Valley contest came from Sharon Demeno Menich, who now lives in Broad Alban, but she grew up on Eagle Street in Amsterdam. I have so many pleasant memories growing up in the East End of Amsterdam, so I hope I can keep it down to 400 words, but I will try. I grew up at 35 Eagle Street, a four-family home owned by my grandparents and mom and dad and aunts, uncles, and cousins. My grandparents came over from Italy. We were always told that Kirk Douglas lived across the street at one time, and my uncle was friends with him. Kirk Douglas's father was the rag man who used to go up and down Main Street shouting, "Rags! Rags!" My grandparents passed away when I was about 4 years old. I'm 66 today. My parents inherited the upstairs front apartment. My Uncle John and Aunt Dot got the upstairs back apartment. My Uncle Al and Aunt Mary took the downstairs front apartment. My Aunt Stella and Uncle Amos the downstairs back apartment. My cousins and my sisters and I grew up as one big, happy family. My Naples cousins attended St. Mary's School in Bishop Scully. The rest of us started out at East Main Street School, then going on to Theodore Roosevelt Junior High. Of course, after that, Wilbur H. Lynch High. In the neighborhood, everyone got along, and all the adults sat out in front of our house, and the kids all played all kinds of games. Of course, this was the time we enjoyed walking to school. We would pass by all the bars, Shell's Pharmacy, the churches, Johnny's Seafood, Tryon Theater, the bus station, Rialto Theater, and the restaurants. There also was a bakery on the way to junior high, but I can't remember its name. Usually on the way home, we'd take various routes and pass by many other places. The evenings, we would either stay home and play hide-and-seek or go ice skating up to Hassenfuss Field and have hot chocolate in the little hut there, and then go sledding down Suicide Hill. On Friday nights, I was always walking downtown and shopping and meeting friends at Brownies and all sitting in the back booth. When I went to high school, I used to go to all the football games and cheer on the Rams. Also, there were the basketball games with the Fabulous Five. My father worked at the Bigelow Sanford Mill, and my mom worked third shift at Mohasco Carpet Mills. When Bigelow Sanford's moved out of Amsterdam, my father had a job working at the Christmas tree factory. Then Mohasco moved out of Amsterdam, and my mom had a job at the Big N in the deli. Those two big companies moving out, the carpet mills, really put a lot of people out of work. But they usually found a job of one kind or another. Some people went south with Mohasco. Things have certainly changed in Amsterdam since I grew up there. What with the mall and a lot of the churches closing, no more movie theaters on Main Street. My cousin John and I recently visited Eagle Street again, and it was kind of sad. There were some people there that we grew up with, but a lot of the houses were boarded up. When I think about growing up in Amsterdam on Eagle Street, I feel very fuzzy inside.
So this is America. I mean, you have a chance. You have a chance.
Our first story from the Mohawk Valley today, from Sharon Demeno Menich, who grew up on Eagle Street in Amsterdam with her family. Stories from the Mohawk Valley submitted to my contest recently, and we're reading all the stories Monday through Thursday at 8:10 in the morning. The following story is one of our prize winners, taking second prize in the contest, written by Teresa Moran. It's about the broom industry. We'll give you the title that Teresa used in just a moment. Teresa Moran retired from Scotia Glenville School District, where she was the high school librarian. She's currently the secretary of the Capital District Genealogical Society. Her story is called The Howard Family of Fort Hunter and Broom Manufacturing in the Mohawk Valley. Ebenezer Howard and John D. Blood began the Blood and Howard Broom Factory in Fort Hunter in 1859. It was the first factory established for the manufacture of brooms from corn in the area. They remained partners until 1869, when Blood sold out his interest. The company was renamed E. Howard & Company. Howard's nephew, Avery Howard, his sons, George and Charles, joined the business. The factory produced 12,000 dozen brooms, valued at $45,000, in 1870. In 1873, the Fort Hunter factory was destroyed by fire. A brick structure soon replaced it. Howard traveled to the Midwest to procure broom corn, also grew broom corn in Fort Hunter. In 1880, he reported growing 32,000 pounds of broom corn on 75 acres. The building was expanded and added steam machinery. Brooms were exported all over the country and to Australia. Avery Howard left the company, and the name was changed to E. Howard & Sons in 1886. George Howard died in 1891. His father, Ebenezer, died less than a year later. Ebenezer's obituary appeared in the New York Times. He was described as one of the influential residents of the Mohawk Valley. Charles L. Howard continued the broom business. In 1894, American Broom and Brush Company was formed by uniting E. Howard & Sons with Myers & Parker of Fultonville and J.D. Blood & Company of Amsterdam, along with companies from other states. Headquarters were in New York City. The main factory was located on Walnut Street in Amsterdam. In a 1902 reorganization, Charles Howard became president of the company. The other companies were disposed of, and the factory on Walnut Street became the center of operations. 1907, Charles Howard's son Harry joined the company as treasurer. The factory closed in 1934. After formation of American Broom and Brush, the building in Fort Hunter was sold. It was torn down in 1976. Charles Howard was active in the American Broom Manufacturers Association, in fact was elected president of that group at one time. 1927, he became president of the Farmers National Bank in Amsterdam. He lived in Fort Hunter in the home his father built until his death, December 20, 1935. The Amsterdam Recorder devoted an editorial to his passing, and an obituary appeared in the New York Times. He's fondly remembered by his only surviving grandson, Roger Moran of Amsterdam. And to go off the page, if you will, Teresa Moran notes in her submission essay that Roger Moran of Amsterdam, who is still alive at age 93, is her father-in-law. And she came across this information or developed this information on the broom business while working on the Moran family genealogy. Also, I just did a column on the subject of the broom business based on Teresa's work. It ran a couple weeks ago in the Daily Gazette, talking about the other broom companies. There were several major Amsterdam broom manufacturers in the 19th and 20th century. Pioneer Broom, West Main at Pine Streets, founded by the Blood family, ended up being the largest, according to historian Hugh Donlan. Gardner Broom was on Elk Street. One of its owners, Herbert Gardner, indulged a passion for horse racing and owned 1929 Kentucky Derby winner Clyde Van Dusen. And the Wasserman family's Amsterdam Broom Company was on Brookside Avenue. Their former complex was destroyed by fire that you probably remember. That fire took place in 2010. And there was another kind of sidelight that Teresa Moran put me onto about her husband's ancestor, broom manufacturer Charles Howard of Fort Hunter. He was a driving force in the Bourbonnais Key Amica Hunting and Fishing Club of Canada during a memorable outing at Lake Simon in Quebec in 1914. Club members caught 447 447 Canadian gray trout, and Lake Simon was described as being twice as big as Lake Baseco in the nearby Adirondacks. Stories from the Mohawk Valley here on The Morning Show. I'm Bob Cudmore. Coming up on tomorrow's Stories from the Mohawk Valley at 8:10, we'll hear a story written by John Naple of Amsterdam when he was a paperboy in 1958 and helped Sam Stratton get elected to his first term in Congress. John was one of the top 10 winners in our contest. We'll also hear a story written by Dave Northrup of Rochester, Amsterdam native. He won third prize in the contest. This was a story that ran as a column with some embellishments in the Gazette over the weekend about Matthews, an exclusive men's shop in downtown Amsterdam in the old days, which was operated by Dave Northrup's uncle, Matt Oranti.